From the land of the free and the home of the Chiefs, this is the Locked On Chiefs podcast.
And welcome back to another episode of Locked On Chiefs, and welcome back to another week. It is the off season officially, and there is still stuff to talk about. So let's just go ahead and dive in. Sorry, I have a little bit of a cold. My name is Chris. I am an analyst at Chiefs Digest. I apologize. And Ryan is here as well.
I think you're the. We're going to go with the.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. I'm Ryan, the host of Locked On, as just part of what I do. Check out Rogue Analytics. It's where I do the draft metrics. Getting geared up for that right now, as well as RGR on YouTube, RGR Football on YouTube. The links are in the show notes, and it should make it easier. Forgive my voice. The band played this weekend, so I'm a little bit hoarse, but and a little bit out of the loop too, because there's been things going on.
There's a couple things going on. It looks like the Chiefs got a fantastic hire when you look at who they hired for their defensive line coach.
Yeah, and that's pretty impressive. What they did, according to reports anyway, folks, I don't think any of this is all going to be confirmed until the defensive coaching staff is set. But supposedly what they've done is be able to grab the defensive line coach from the New England Patriots, a team that had their number in a number of different ways this season and in seasons past. And I think that's a good grab. And it also feeds into, I had a lot of folks asking you about whether Britt Reid would remain the guy in Kansas City for his dad. And clearly, I think we have the answer.
Well, yeah, I would think Britt Reid's still on the staff somewhere, but obviously it's not going to be defensive line coach. So I'm excited about that hire, though. I do think it's a good situation for Kansas City and a great hire for them. I do think that it's interesting that New England let him go, but I've also read that his wife is from the Kansas City area. So it was one of those situations where they decided it was worth letting the coach out of his, go to another situation and take basically the same job.
Right. Normally, if you're going to take an upgrade in terms of the status, like if you're a position coach and you're being offered a coordinator, that's something that teams generally, I don't know the contracts for the coaches because if they are released, they're very, very, very infrequent. But I believe that that is written into some of the contracts, and it might be a general rule across the league that if you are going to take a promotion, that they're going to let you do that regardless. But the lateral moves, same position on both teams, that's generally at the current team's discretion.
Yeah, as long as you're under contract, which it sounds like he still was. But it's a class move by the Patriots, so thank you for that. I do think it's a great hire for Kansas City. You know, the other one that broke that a lot of people were excited about was House from Kentucky, their defensive coordinator. Although it sounds like Kentucky reneged after negotiating a buyout on his contract. So to me, that seems like a situation where it could end up falling in a lot in line with the Cliff Kingsbury situation.
It definitely could, and I'd be remiss. The Chiefs' new defensive line coach, according to reports, is Brendan Daly. That's his name, and I forgot to get that out there. But you're right. House was a guy that had worked for Spagnuolo before. He's been in college ranks for a couple of years. He's been at Kentucky, I believe, I thought it was DBs, and then he became the coordinator, I think, three seasons ago, which coincides with, quite honestly, a lot of talent on that defense. This year, this coming draft in particular, you're going to see a number of Kentucky players on the defensive side of the ball that are going to be options for being taken. And I think that's a quality sign there. But yeah, that contract that then they're going to bring him back and now it's out in the public. He clearly wants to go to the NFL and return to the NFL coaching ranks. You'd like to see, according to Ian Rappaport, that this is now a done deal because of that, but I don't know.
Yeah, I'm not 100% sure that it's a done deal. I don't think that Kentucky expected it to get out into the public eye that they renegotiated a buyout and then reneged on it. To me, that is very, well, we're usually kid friendly, and this is not necessarily there, but damning when it comes to a program. And if you're going to do that to a coach, be ready for repercussions down the line.
Yeah, and I have to say that generally is going to be something that they're kind of in panic mode where they feel like this is a guy that's at the coordinator level now that could be eventually ascend to the head coaching position. That's somebody a lot of teams get in a panic mode when they have that kind of eye towards the future with a particular coach, and they need or feel like they need to protect it.
And I get that, but at the same time, if you tell a guy that you're going to give him a buyout and he accepts the job and it goes out that he's been accepted as the new Chiefs linebackers coach, and then you come back and say, oh, well, guess what? We're not going to do that. And it gets out that you're the reason that he's not able to do that. Do you think he's really going to want to stay there? I have a really hard time thinking that there's not going to be bad blood there. And honestly, like I said, I do think it's a horrible look for Kentucky. When you look at how long it's taken that program to become nationally relevant on the football side, is this really the way you want to go?
Yeah, that's tough because that can kill momentum of a program. And as somebody who is a loyal Jayhawk, I can understand what it's like to be the football team at a basketball school. And it is something that you have to consider about because it calls into question recruiting, whether the university is going to stand by the staff once you get there. A lot of kids get to their team and get orphaned. And so that's a significant piece of the recruiting responsibilities.
Yep. So big question mark. I'm honestly not going to believe that they've moved on until it's official that they've signed somebody else as their linebackers coach. But we'll see on that front.
Yeah, I think what we're going to see now is we might hear another leak or two. But I think really at some point soon, although soon might be optimistic, but at some point we're just going to get a general announcement that this is the staff. And don't rule out that Britt Reid could still be on it. They're having trouble filling the linebacker coaches in terms of, I think Antonio Pierce was the first reported option. I don't know if he was the first option period, just the one that we know about, but. You never know. Britt Reid could slide over there and Spagnuolo may decide that even though Britt Reid hasn't coached the linebacker level before, that he's going to coach him up and make him a linebacker coach. Well, we're going to find out. And when we do, we'll go over it notch by notch.
So there was another thing that happened this weekend that we wanted to touch on, the new AAF league.
Yeah. And you know what? Let's take our break real quick. And I want to come back and touch about that just real quickly. And then we'll move on. What else is going on with the Chiefs?
Are you looking to reach new customers? I could be mentioning your business right now. Podcast listeners are 60% more likely to interact with their sponsors than on web pages or other forms of media. Our demographic is 98% males and offers more opportunities than traditional media audiences. Have your company sponsor this podcast today. Email us at lockedonchiefs@gmail.com.
Wanted to touch on the new AAF league.
I'm glad that you brought that up because all I've seen is a couple of highlights. One of them was a crushing impact on a quarterback in this Alliance of American Football. And if you don't know what that is, folks, it's on my timeline a little bit. I've been very interested in it. You had an option in Major League Football that was a developmental league, I think 2 years ago now, and they folded because they couldn't get funding. And so what AAF is that actual NFL executives, all kinds of them, honestly. It's too long a list to go down, but ex-players, ex-coaches, ex-executives have put together this league as a spring league, basically. It's meant to be a developmental league that feeds into the NFL and is an option for players that either have completed their college eligibility or have made a mistake. You know, every year you hear about a bunch of underclassmen that declare for the draft and then don't get drafted. And then maybe not even picked up in UDFA and they're on the street without any more eligibility and they have nowhere to go. And this is a league for those kind of guys that have a lot of talent and could end up getting back in the NFL.
Yeah, it's definitely going to be something interesting to watch. There are several ex-Chiefs players that are in the league. And just in general, football this time of year is something that isn't necessarily around. And I did read a tweet somewhere, I believe, that said that the AAF actually beat the NBA on CBS ratings or NBC ratings or whatever network it was on yesterday.
I saw that as well. That's really interesting.
So it is an interesting thing. You look at what that could mean for, I mean, you look at everybody loves football. Obviously, you look at how popular the NFL is compared to the other sports, and then you have another league that starts that isn't the NFL and is still more popular than the NBA. That just tells you how much people love football.
It does. And like you said, there's some specific links. Akeem Hunt for one. I'm just checking box scores. Thanks to Matt Derrick, by the way, because I couldn't find any box scores anywhere until he did. Akeem Hunt had a good day. I think he ran for, I can't remember the number of touches, but it was over 7 yards a carry. So what we saw in Kansas City, even though he wasn't able to get on the field, it's continuing at that level. And so it still will justify, I think, talent that's borderline for the NFL or could still be useful in the NFL. And I haven't watched a single game yet, but I plan to. And we can talk about that this week, too.
Yeah, so I have to ask a question to you, Ryan, and I'm going to switch gears since we need to get back to talking about the Chiefs. But I don't know if you saw the tweet that the Locked On account tweeted out last night. Do you sign D Ford to an estimated 5-year, $95 million contract with $55 million guaranteed?
I do not. Do you?
Not a chance.
I mean, that's what, and is that from Corey? Joel Corey?
No, that's actually from what that PFF tweeted out an article, and it had 10 different players, and it expanded into what they think that their free agent or their market would be if they were to get a new contract. And there is no way I'm paying D Ford that kind of money.
And that's my perception exactly. But I will say this. I don't think it's completely out of the realm of possibility. Only because, I mean, we have seen as outsiders, as analysts outside of the room, outside of the building, what D Ford's been able to produce and when he hasn't, when he's been too injured or et cetera, et cetera. Now, we as observers see this as a contract year explosion, right? That's legitimate. But there are also inside information. There is a possibility that his offseason surgery last season, because he had a back issue, and that back issues affect you from head to toe. So if they feel that that was really the big thing holding him back, and now this is more the D4 that could have been here 2 years ago, maybe they do decide to take a chance on that. They clearly, from Brett Veach's comments, and I'll try to pull those up. I have the audio from the conference call. I just haven't had a chance to edit it yet. He's clearly excited about it.
I almost hate going here, but I'm going to say it anyway because I thought about this after I got done working out. You know what really bothers me about paying D Ford money? It's how many players have you heard that are excited about being on the franchise tag? Yeah. There aren't many.
That's true.
And to me, that's a big worry sign for me, because you look at how many players have come out and stated they hate the franchise tag. They hate the franchise tag. I can't remember a player that welcomed the franchise tag. And other than, well, DeMarcus Lawrence, I guess, has, and he had a mm-hmm. good year, but he's, you can't step back and look and see how that turned out long term yet.
Well, so, and I think for D being on his, his first contract still, being in a position where either way, he's going to make a lot more money than he has. And I'm sure he's heard the rumblings. I'm sure he understands that he's, in terms of where he was drafted for a big time contract, most of the fan base feels like he's not lived up to that. But I also feel like he's smart enough to understand that playing opposite Justin Houston is good for his career. And playing solo, being a guy that takes that big contract, which would be very difficult to keep both of them should he sign that. It's not totally impossible, but it completely washes out any chance of doing anything major in the secondary. And I think that's a bigger concern. Well, but I think he understands what
I'm not so sure that I'm not so sure that Houston's here, regardless of whether or not he signs a contract extension.
You think Justin Houston's back no matter what?
No, I'm not so sure he's back. Justin Houston will be here regardless of what they do with D Ford. I could be wrong, and maybe they're going to bring back Houston on a restructure, and that'd be great. But I have a very hard time believing they're going to keep him at the cap rate, at the cap number he's at right now. So
right.
We'll have to see on that.
And I can understand. I think a lot of people feel that way, especially the way that Veach's comments came out in being so specific about Ford and discussing at least Eric Berry and his situation. And there wasn't a whole lot of conversation about Justin Houston. But here's the thing. He's clearly under contract and played the full season and has no injury status that we know of. So he's like the one guy that is, you know, you can put on the back burner because you don't have to do anything. Maybe your goals are to reduce your cap, but which makes perfect sense to me, but it isn't something that you have to get done right now.
No, I agree with that. And it's possible he is back. I just don't know. Oh, we will know a lot in the next couple of weeks. The Chiefs have to figure out their cap situation. They have to figure out what they're going to be able to do in free agency, if anything. And Houston is a big part of that. Eric Berry is a big part of that. And obviously D Ford is a big part of that.
Right. And, you know, there are ways, we've seen it done before, where you can structure a contract so that you have, even though the length may be very incrementally getting bigger. You can make it so that you can have a season with a low first cap number. Yep. Maybe that's what they're thinking about D Ford. Maybe they feel like they want him long enough that they can use that as a tool to keep his salary low enough, you know, comparable to what he's at now, or maybe even less, in order to use that as the cushion, even though it would save him what I think the franchise tag is going to be 15 or 17, somewhere in there, right?
Yep.
So if you could put him on a contract that leaves him at $2 or $3 million, it makes it a whole lot easier to keep Justin Houston, as well as do something with Barry extension wise or whatever, if you have to, or at the worst case scenario, if you have to leave both those contracts alone, it gives you one more season where you can have the three of them.
True. The question is they also want to extend Tyreek Hill and Chris Jones this offseason. So that's also something that's going to have to be discussed and figured out. We do need to take another quick break. And when we come back, we will finish up on what is going on with the Chiefs right now.
We have a powerful new feed to tell you about. Check out Locked On NFL Net on Twitter. It is all the inside information from our hosts for all the Locked On shows for all of the NFL teams in one Twitter feed. That's LockedOnNFL.net on Twitter. Check that out today.
All right, Ryan, I know you had a gig this weekend. Got any other tidbits that you want to share?
You know, and I want to say thank you to the Twitter followers that did come out to the show. It was great. The band had a good time. And I had a lot of interesting football conversation on breaks and whatnot there at the venue. So one thing that stands out to me is a lot of folks have been asking about the Broncos in this smokescreen, supposedly, about Elway and this quarterback that they're looking to take. And does this quarterback, if he should end up in Denver, what does that do to the complexion of the AFC West? And, you know, the more that I've talked about it, the more I've come around to the idea that this is not anything that they have to be terribly concerned about. The Chiefs rebuilding their defense is not in order to win the AFC West. It's in order to win the AFC. And that's a much bigger difference. And while I think a little bit more increased competition within the AFC West is certainly something that is going to come and you have to be wary of, I don't think that puts any kind of twist on what the Chiefs are doing. I think they have a very specific plan in order to get themselves where they need to be. And I will not be surprised, just between you and me and everybody listening, I will not be surprised if Brett Veach is a driving force in the end about rebuilding this defense to be respectable, not elite, but respectable. Because the more I hear his actual words, it's one thing to read it when the beat writers publish their quotes, but to hear him speak about it, the way he's emphatic, the way I feel like he's gone about revamping the offseason process, and is open to free agency and is clearly having goal derived conversations. I feel like this is going to be a good thing for the Chiefs longer term in addressing issues that are going to come up.
I certainly agree. And I also would say that you look at his past draft and you have to wonder if he knew ahead of time that they were going to a 4-3 this year or very soon, because you look at the players he drafted and they fit better. And Anthony Hitchens fits better in a 4-3 than a 3-4. So it's going to be very interesting to see what they're able to do in free agency. And obviously we have a lot to discuss and find out, you know, if they release Houston or if they release Barry or they keep them both, if they restructure or however that turns out. But, you know, you're absolutely right. I don't think, honestly, Andy Reid said at the end of the season, when he was talking to Spagnuolo, it came out that he said, you know, it's Super Bowl or bust next year. That's their focus. Their focus isn't on the AFC West. Kansas City doesn't have to worry. And I'm sorry, I will admit, I have not looked at the QBs in this draft, but I can't see one of them unseating Patrick Mahomes as being the best QB in the AFC West. And if that is truly the case, then honestly, the rest of it should pretty much take care of itself when it comes to the AFC West.
Yeah, I agree. And I don't know that that's what people fear, but it was interesting to me to hear Chiefs fans worried about what's going on with the Broncos. I don't think that's anything that has to be a concern.
Well, I don't think that they can get a QB that can step in and be good enough next year to be better than what Keenum was this year.
Agreed. I mean,
maybe it's a marginal improvement and you can see things going into the later part of the season, but they're not going to have a QB that comes in and just takes the league by storm.
Right.
That's not going to happen. This.
I know a lot of folks are out there thinking, okay, but they have that huge, tall, leaping wide receiver. They had Deshaun Hamilton. They still have weapons, and the Chiefs are short on corners and likely to lose more. And I completely agree, and I understand Chiefs fans' worries about that. But I still feel like all this that we're talking about now in terms of restructuring, figuring out the Ford, Houston, Barry deals, as well as starting to address Jones and Hill, I think that's all foundational in order to make moves, both in free agency and the draft. And I do feel more like free agency is a little bit more on the table than I felt like last week. But I think that all is geared towards setting the foundation so they can make the appropriate moves in the secondary. I think that is going to be a focus.
Patrick Mahomes went 12-4 as his first year as a starter, and this schedule that he played this season was a lot harder than the season than the Chiefs played before. Kansas City is going to be in fine shape. Their offense is maybe it takes a small step back in 2019 because people think that it's obviously going to take a step back because it was one of the best offenses in the NFL ever. I'm not so sure that it's going to take a step back just because Andy Reid is always trying to innovate. And if there's anything that he's ever showed us, it's that he is able to innovate and is at the front end of change when it comes to offenses in the NFL, in my opinion. And if he is innovating, if he continues to innovate, I think this offense can be just as deadly as it was this year.
Yeah, I agree. There's that many steps forward. And I do have, I know a lot of folks feel like this has to be an all defensive draft. I do feel like they're going to address something in free agency that should alleviate some of that. And I do feel like there is room to add another playmaker or two to this offense, and give Patrick Mahomes that much more firepower.
Yep. I agree.
We'll be interested to see when and how that happens. But, folks, this week we're going to get into some position reviews. We're going to have some guests. We have plenty going on, so keep it tuned here. We will be back every day. If you happen to be one of the folks listening on YouTube, make sure you hit the subscriptions on either Apple Podcasts or Google Podcasts or Stitcher or one of those. Just in case you don't have to deal with or Spotify. I always forget that one. Because there's always a delay built in, so that'll help keep you up to date and maybe a little bit more efficient for you to listen to, because as these little things come in, our shows will probably generally be shorter in the off season, but it's because there's a lot more little things to talk about as we creep towards the big events in the combine and the draft and the OTAs. So we appreciate all your effort. And if you have particularly a new set of ears, if you're new to us, make sure you leave us a review on iTunes. Let us know how we're doing. Give us some feedback. We really appreciate that. We want to make the show better for you guys, and we appreciate your time. So thanks for listening today. We'll be back with you tomorrow.
Subscribe to the show on iTunes or Google Play. Follow the show on Twitter at Locked On Chiefs. Check out my work at RGR Football on YouTube, Chris's work on LockedOnChiefs.com, and all of Seth's film analysis at TheAthletic.com. Thanks for listening.